Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. I trust the Lord that you are doing well, you and your family, you and your loved ones. You are enjoying this lovely, warm, busy summer as we are. I trust that the Lord is keeping you. And I'm really thankful that we can come together again tonight around the Word of God as we always do. There is no distance in the Spirit. Even though this is a virtual Bible study, there is really nothing virtual about the things of the Holy Spirit. Everything is in person. He's right here with us in this studio. He's right there with you wherever you are. And whether you are traveling and having fun with your family or just chilling and just relaxing or whatever else you're doing, it is a blessing that you could tune in and join us tonight as we study the Word of God together. I'm always excited to get around the Word of God with the saints, and I know that we have been studying for a few weeks now, the theme, the believer's authority and dominion. And I want us to press forward into that, further on that tonight. We have already covered a lot of ground. The Lord has helped us. We have done some repeating of some things and going over a few things. And I know we are consolidating, we're establishing the Word of God inside of our hearts. We're not just looking to have revelation knowledge that is fleeting and passing, but we want to be established in it. As we learned in one of our recent services during the Open Heavens weekend, it's not enough just to receive revelation knowledge from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. It is extremely important that we are established in that revelation, because every time we receive the Word of God, the Bible says, you know, in Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word, but as soon as the sower sowed the word, then the thief came. And who is the thief? We know he's our enemy, Satan himself. He came to try to steal the word, and that's what he does all the time. Sometimes we receive a word, maybe in a service, maybe just in our personal studies, and we're so blessed by it, and we're so thrilled by it. But it is vital that we don't just receive God's word in a moment of time and then just move on past it and not revisit it and not study it over and over and over again. It is absolutely important that we constantly keep the Word of God before us. That's why the Bible says in Joshua, God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night. Because when we keep the Word of God constantly before us, then we become established in the revelation of the knowledge of God's Word. My prayer for all of us tonight as we get back into the Word of God and continue to study together is that the revelation of the knowledge of the Word of God will become established in our individual lives, in our personal lives, and that as we avail ourselves of the opportunity to continue to study that Word, to continue to meditate that Word, that we will become established in the Word of God. The knowledge, the revelation, the impartations that we receive will not just be things that stop in our minds, like our minds get a hold of them for a little while and then we forget, you know. No, but that we will become established in these truths. Hallelujah. Because when we are established in revelation knowledge, then we receive the ability to walk and to operate in the authority and dominion that the Lord Jesus Christ died to give to us. So thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Whatever platform you are joining us on, glory to God. I want us to share a word of prayer and get right into the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us, them and their loved ones. What a blessing to be alive in this moment, to be alive in this day and age. We know these are the last days, and we know that the Spirit of God is moving all across the earth. He's doing an amazing work. We know these are days of revival. These are days of refreshing. These are days when the Holy Spirit is establishing the counsel of God that you purposed from the beginning of times. So, Father, we're so thankful to you. We're so excited to have this opportunity to come before you. And Lord, I pray for illumination. I pray for understanding. I ask God that you'd cause the light of the gospel to shine upon our hearts, shine upon our minds. In the name of Jesus, I command that every blindfold be taken off of the minds of God's people. Satan, I rebuke you tonight. I take authority over you. You lose your hold over God's people tonight, over their minds, over their understanding, over their ability to attend to the word of God. Lord, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We receive grace and mercy. I thank you, Father God, for utterance, for the grace to minister your word clearly, with accuracy, with boldness, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I give you the glory tonight. I bless and I magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much again for joining us. We have been given the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. We've learned a lot of things already in this series of lessons. Spiritual authority just is delegated authority, delegated power, and we have talked about that quite a bit. As a child of God, Jesus died to redeem us. He died to redeem us and to call us into sonship with himself. Through him, because of his sacrifice on the cross, because he paid the price, the ultimate price for redemption, you and I have become representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ down here on earth. He is in heaven. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and we are seated right there with him. Hallelujah, like the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians. But as we operate on this earth as his representatives, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. In Ephesians and chapter 2, the Bible tells us, it says that we have been delivered. And in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1, you has he made alive, quickened when we were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which at one time we walked habitually, when we were following the course and the fashion of this world. We were under the sway and the tendencies of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. We were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. That's what we used to be. That's where we used to be. We were living under the control of satanic spirits. He is called the God of this world. But Jesus, out of the love that God had for us, Jesus paid that ultimate price. The Bible says right here in verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, this is in the King James. I was reading earlier on from the Amplified, but in verse 4 in the King James, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ," or made us alive together with Christ, "by grace are you saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. We are seated together with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. He has given us his authority. These are very familiar pieces of passages of scripture. Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18. He has given us his authority. If we read this from verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, all authority. That word translated power there is actually the original word, the Greek word exousia, which is authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So as long as we continually yield ourselves in obedience to the word of God, as long as we continually respond to the Holy Spirit by walking in line with the divine mandate, this great commission that we have received, then we are qualified. We are qualified to exercise dominion and exercise authority that has been given to us. Spiritual authority and dominion isn't really just for the sake of it. It's not just so that we can talk about it, we can be happy that we have it. No, it is so that we can use it exactly like Jesus used it when he was on the earth, right? Jesus used his authority. He used his dominion. And as his representatives on the earth, as people that are joined together with him, that is exactly what we are called to do. We are called to exercise his authority and his dominion. In Mark chapter 16, from verse 15, Mark chapter 16 and from verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. We've just talked about that. But notice that authority that he gave to them when he said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. That authority was his expectation, was that authority will be put to use. The authority will not just be sitting there dormant. Remember, this authority is the same, is the restoration of the dominion that Adam was given, Adam and Eve were given in the Garden of Eden, when God said in Genesis 1, 28, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fishes of the sea, the beasts of the field, the flying and the creeping creatures on the earth. And that dominion, notice immediately, Adam put that dominion to work. He wasn't just, you know, strutting around the Garden of Eden, pumping his chest and talking about, I have dominion, I have authority. No, he put it to work, right, immediately. And he started to do the things that needed to be done that were a part of his assignment in the Garden of Eden. He started to name the animals. And the Bible says whatever he named, whatever names he gave to them, that was the name by which they were called. Right, he started to. The Bible says he kept the garden. He walked in line with his God-given mandate. What was his assignment? The assignment that God had given to him to keep that garden and to occupy it and to take care of it. And so when the Lord gave us authority as believers, children of God, we have spiritual authority. We have in our individual lives, right? We're not just supposed to be walking around and talking about how we have authority. Oh, glory to God. I have dominion. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, praise God. That realization is awesome. But we are supposed to be putting that authority to work, right? We're supposed to be occupying till he comes, right? In our daily experiences, situations that come up. right? We're supposed to be reminding ourselves, hey, I have spiritual authority. Things that come up in our families, in our personal lives, situations that we're having to deal with in our relationships, at the job, right? In our ministries, we're supposed to be taking our place of authority. We have authority. This authority is not just a badge. It's not just something we carry around and boast about. It is something that is supposed to be used. And that authority gives us the upper hand over the enemy. That authority enables us to take our place as though it was Jesus Christ himself that was upon the earth. Remember in Luke chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, he sent them out to places that he was going to go to do things that he himself was going to be doing, right? And when those disciples came back to give him a report in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says right here in verse 16, he says, he who hears you hears me, and he who despises you despises me, and he who despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, behold, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. We know Satan has been cast down. We know in spite of all the noise he tries to make, in spite of all the drama he tries to create, he is a defeated foe. We know that. Jesus Christ himself defeated him on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, by his sacrifice and by his resurrection, exercised authority and dominion over Satan. And he's a fallen foe. Now, he's fallen doesn't mean he's not going to try to do things. Doesn't mean he's not going to try to act as though he's still in charge. And he's the God of this world. He has a measure of control in this world. But over you, the believer, and over me, the believer, Satan has no control if we understand the authority that we have been given, right? So we can't act like the world. We can't act like people that are ignorant. You know, in Hosea, the Bible says, my people, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, a lack of knowledge or a lack of revelation of the authority that God has given to us, of the authority that God has made available to us, will actually make us victims to Satan's deceptions. Hallelujah. But when we walk in knowledge, when we walk in revelation knowledge, and we walk in the understanding that God has given to us, and we walk in our authority, we take our rightful place of authority, then Satan is under our feet. Satan is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. And we have the victory over him. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. This is the word authority again. It's translated power in the King James, but it's really the Greek word is exousia, authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We are God's emissaries on the earth. We represent Jesus. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, when we show up as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one who has shown up. Hallelujah. And you know, everywhere Jesus went, he went with the authority of God. He went with dominion. He went taking the power of the gospel. And the Bible tells us that the gospel is not just in word, right? The gospel is not just in how much we talk about it. Yes, we do talk about it. Yes, we do preach about it. Yes, we do express about it. But really, the word of God, and the gospel, is not just in word. It's in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That power, that authority, that demonstration, that comes with the activities of the Holy Spirit and the authority and the dominion that we have been given is what puts Satan in his place, is what enables us to reign as kings, right? Hallelujah. It enables us. Jesus said, I give unto you authority. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we have authority. If something is going wrong in our lives, we have authority to get up and say, in the name of Jesus, I command that this be made right. In the name of Jesus, I command that this be turned around. The Bible says we have been made kings and priests by our Lord Jesus Christ. We reign on the earth like he reigns in heaven. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, where he said he gave unto them, you know, he was asking them, who do people say that I am? And then, you know, when Peter, by the revelation that he received, when he responded aright, Jesus said, that's not flesh and blood that revealed that to you, but that's my Father gave you that revelation. And then he said, on this rock, the rock of this revelation of who I am, Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So that means the gates of hell will fight against the church. And a lot of the things that we experience, a lot of the things that go on around our lives, the challenges that we encounter, the difficulties that we face, a lot of those are emblematic of the kingdom of darkness, the gates of hell, fighting against us, fighting against the church. Why is he fighting? So as to gain the upper hand, even though he knows he's a defeated foe, but his goal is to prey on the ignorance of believers and to victimize us if we don't realize, if we don't walk in the revelation of the authority of God that we have. In Matthew 16, and verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What's the purpose of keys? Keys represent authority. It represents access. It's so that we can access the things that rightly belong to us. Is so that we can access and walk in authority and in dominion regarding the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So that authority is to be put to work. We take authority over circumstances and over situations, over the different things that we encounter as we walk in the will of God, seeking to fulfill God's mandate for our lives. We exercise dominion. We exercise authority. We walk in the reality and in the revelation of the authority that we have been given. I give unto you, he says, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So we have the keys of the kingdom. And what do we do with the keys of the kingdom? We use them. We use them in exercising our authority. Notice it says there, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So as God's children and those that have been endowed with God's authority, we have a responsibility to stand our ground and walk in the authority and dominion that we have been given. That means many times there will be a fight. Satan will fight against us. Satan will attack us. Satan will seek to deprive us of the victories that we have been promised. It says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. It is so essential as God's children that we walk in the revelation of this knowledge, that we walk in understanding. For several weeks, we read the prayer that Paul prayed, the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and which is really a prayer that we have adopted. We should pray over ourselves regularly. There's a reason why he prayed that prayer. Because it is one thing to have access to a blessing or a gift or a privilege. It is another thing to have the knowledge that is required to use that gift. It is one thing to be blessed with certain endowments, but it is another thing to walk in the realization of those endowments. A prince is supposed to reign on the earth. A king is supposed to reign on the earth. A king is not a slave. A king is not a victim. So we can't allow life and situations of life to victimize us or hold us in captivity, hold us in bondage. No, we can't. We must not. We must not let Satan torment us and deny us what rightfully belongs to us. There's an inheritance for you as a child of God. This inheritance Jesus died to give to you. Salvation is your inheritance. I assume that everyone that is listening to us or studying with us tonight, you're already saved. Like we read in the book of Ephesians, we are saved. We used to be dead, but God, rich in his love and in his mercy, he saved us. Salvation is our inheritance. Deliverance is our inheritance. Health, soundness of health, is our inheritance. A good life, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. A good life, abundant life, that's our inheritance. Abundant life is life that flows. We call it yafun yafun life. Amen. Abundant life is life that is more than enough. Abundant life is life, is not cut short life. It's not insufficient life. It's not patch life. It's not a life of lack, a life of crying, a life of losing, a life of walking in fear, a life of always being under. No, it's a life of dominion, a life of more than enough. Hallelujah. It's a life of prosperity. Glory to God. It's a life of success. It's a life of victory. We win every fight. We win every battle. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. So, having revelation and understanding of what belongs to us in Christ, and walking in that realization, walking in that knowledge and in that revelation, is so crucial. It's so crucial. And how do we do that? That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. In Ephesians 1, from verse 15, He says, I after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and on like that. Notice there he says, I pray that our Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know. So that you may know. When Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, well, there are certain keys that have been made available to believers to help us walk in our authority and dominion on the earth. There are certain benefits, certain blessings that have been made available to us through Christ. There are certain privileges that we enjoy as God's children. Hallelujah. Well, having revelation knowledge of that is what Paul was praying. And I dare say, revelation knowledge is really one of the first keys of the kingdom. It's one of the first requirements to being able to walk in the fullness of the authority that the Lord has given unto us. Revelation knowledge. You remember, that's exactly what the Lord said to Peter in Matthew 16 before he said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Right? When Peter answered and said unto him, you are the Christ. In Matthew 16, 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. So there's revelation knowledge from the Father that Peter received. That certainly was a key to walking in dominion, to walking in authority. Because right after that, Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the kingdom of hell will fight against the church. But if the church walks in revelation knowledge, the kingdom and the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Wherever you are tonight, the kingdom of darkness will fight against you. That's not a unique situation to any believer. It's not dependent on where you are, who you are. No. Jesus said, on this rock I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So hell is going to fight against you. Hell is going to fight against me. But they will not win. We will win. Why? Because we have the keys of the kingdom. We win every victory. We win every fight. No wonder Paul said in Timothy, I fought a good fight. We fight the good fight. The good fight is the fight that we win. And we know ahead of time that we win. So, working in our authority, our God-given authority and dominion, wherever you are in your life tonight, no matter the fight, I know the world is full of tribulation, it's full of trouble. I know there's so many difficulties that so many of God's people have to deal with. But you are not a victim. You are a victor. You are not a loser. You are a winner. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Hallelujah. He always causes you to triumph. Always. Now, having revelation knowledge is crucial to walking in the victory that we have. When Satan comes against us, when we walk in revelation knowledge, then we can win. When we walk in revelation knowledge and in understanding, then we can win. If we lack revelation knowledge, if we lack understanding, if we lack the wisdom, notice it says there in Ephesians chapter 1, that I pray for you that our Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Revelation knowledge is a key to walking in authority and dominion. The spirit of wisdom, which Paul prayed for here, is a key to walking in authority and dominion. Having the eyes of our understanding enlightened is a key to walking in authority and dominion. Hallelujah. And I think I'll have a brief mention of some of these preliminary keys that we have been given. If those were not keys, Paul would not have said, I'm praying for you to have this. But Paul said, I pray for you. I pray for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give this to you, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding. Now, if you go back with me here to Matthew chapter 16, you know, it was in verse 17 that the Lord said unto Peter, my Father revealed it to you. It was my Father who gave you this revelation. And in verse 18, he says, I say unto you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in verse 19, he said, and I will give unto you, you Peter, you Mary, you John, you Coyote, Precious, you Gloria, you Philip, you whatever your name is, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Well, before that, in this same Matthew chapter 16, in verse 1, from verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, because the sky is red. And in the morning, you say it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Walking in revelation knowledge, walking in discernment, walking in understanding. This is why the Lord, through Apostle Paul, prayed these prayers for the church. These are the keys that make our authority go. These are the keys that make our dominion work. To have the spirit of wisdom, to have the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. These are the keys. These are some of the keys that make our authority work. Because when we have the spirit of wisdom, and when we have discernment, and when the eyes of our understanding are open, and when we have revelation in the knowledge of him, we can appropriate what is needed each time. We can walk in dominion because we can lay hold on the exact tool or the exact weapon that is needed for the situation at hand. When we walk in the spirit of wisdom, when we walk in discernment, then one, we know what has been given unto us. Two, we know exactly how to use what has been given unto us. We know how to stand against the strategies of the enemy. Sometimes it may require a time of praying. Sometimes it may be that we just know right there in the moment. But having revelation, having knowledge, having understanding makes it clear to us what is available to us. when Satan is working in situations, we have understanding. We know what is happening. We have discernment. We have perception. We have the spirit of wisdom. We are not judging after the reasoning of our minds. We're judging after the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. We know what to. You know, if you want a nail, if you want to hit a nail into a piece of wood, you don't need a spanner. You don't need a screwdriver. What do you need? You need a hammer. Well, wouldn't it be foolish if someone had a toolbox? That toolbox has a hammer, it has a spanner, it has a screwdriver. What they want to do is hit a nail into a piece of wood to hold something together. But here they are trying to use a screwdriver. See, they have the tool that is required, but they don't know. They have all the tools that are required, but they don't know the specific tool to use in the moment. They don't know with specificity. Notice the Lord said to them there in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 2. He said unto the Pharisees, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather when the sky is red. And in the morning, you say it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but how come you cannot discern the signs of the times? To not be able to have discernment, to not be able to have the spirit of wisdom, to not be able to have revelation and revelation knowledge, to know exactly, specifically, what is required at each point in time when Satan is walking and Satan is attacking and Satan is doing his stuff. That leads a lot of believers to failure when we really already have the tools that are needed. We just don't know specifically what tool to use and how to use it. And how to use it. I'm sure all of us have experienced this a few times. Some of us are more gifted. Some people are more gifted than others when it comes to assembling things, right? Assembling things. You buy stuff from the store, a stand or something, whatever. You want to assemble it, put it together. It comes with manuals and instructions. And they tell you, put this little nut in here. You need these tools. You need that tool. And you know, some of us just really struggle sometimes with being able to get it right. And so, you know, many times some people actually just say, I don't want to deal with this. They get someone who really knows what they are doing and they help them put it together. And on the other hand, even though some people just don't know how to handle this stuff, there are other people who are just so proficient who just, you know, they look at the thing, they look at all the tools and then they just, yeah, this is what I need for this, this is what I... Now, in the spirit, spiritually, that is called having the spirit of wisdom. That is called having discernment. That is called having revelation knowledge. That is called having the eyes of your understanding enlightened. When you can connect the dots, when you can appropriate what is needed, and you can use it in the right way to achieve the victory that has been promised you. This is how we walk in authority and dominion. It's one thing to have authority and dominion. There is no question we have authority and dominion. We have all been given authority. Every child of God has been given authority and dominion. But how many believers do we know who say, yeah, I know I've been given authority, I know that, but they don't know specifically what is needed for what situation and how to get it done. Hallelujah. That's why praying for the spirit of wisdom, praying for revelation in the knowledge of Him, praying that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, praying for discernment, the spirit of discernment. All of these are extremely essential to being able to engage and walk in the authority and dominion that we have been given. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say, I have authority. Say, I have dominion. And in the name of Jesus, I pray over myself that our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give unto me continually the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding continually being enlightened, so that I may know what rightly belongs to me. I may know what to do at each point. I may know how to access the blessings of the kingdom of God, the blessings of spiritual authority and dominion that Jesus Christ died to give unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. We've seen some of them tonight. The spirit of wisdom is such a powerful one. Discernment is so powerful. Revelation knowledge, which Peter had, is so powerful to be able to see beyond the surface. The Lord Jesus said unto these Pharisees, you look at the sky and say, it's going to rain today. How come then you can't tell the signs of the times? How come then you can't tell from some of the things that you see going on in your world? How come with the spirit of understanding, with the spirit of revelation, with the spirit of wisdom, you can't tell what exactly, you can't interpret aright what is happening in your world, and you can't walk in the benefits, the privileges of the spiritual authority that you have been given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to come back to this and look at some of this a little bit closely next week. But I don't think I've read this since we started studying all of this, these different concepts. But let's just read before we run out of time and close tonight. Let's read when Jesus began his ministry. And the Bible says, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Well, you know, Satan came against him. Satan came to attack him. And how did Jesus win? How did Jesus overcome? By taking authority. By walking in his dominion. But in addition to that, by having all of these different keys that we've talked about tonight, some of them that we've talked about tonight, to be able to discern right, to have the spirit of wisdom, to know the appropriate response to every situation, to have revelation knowledge, and to be able to put Satan in his place, to have understanding, to be able to appropriate the right reaction, the right tool to use in the right situations. Let's close out tonight by reading from Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's read about when Satan came against Jesus. It's not going to be any different from how Satan comes against you and comes against me. It's not going to be any different from how he tries to take advantage of us. It's not going to be any different from how he tries to take advantages, try to take advantage of some of our vulnerabilities. Remember, Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was fasting and praying. And at the end of the fast, Satan came at him. Because he believed at that time he was most vulnerable. Let's read this quickly because our time is almost gone here. From Luke chapter 4, from verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. See, that's an attack. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. He came, he got the keys of the kingdom. He got one of the keys of the kingdom is the word of God. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's it. It's written, Satan. It is written. Man shall not live by... He knew specifically by revelation, by the spirit of wisdom, specifically what was the response to this attack that Satan brought against him right now in this moment. No, Satan, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Of course, Satan didn't stop there. The devil taketh him, in verse 5, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give unto you and the glory of them. Well, by the way, that word there, in verse 5, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you. That word there is actually authority. It's the Greek word exousia, right? All this authority. Why? Because he stole authority from Adam, and Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus came to restore the dominion that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. Right? Satan is brandishing this less than premium authority that he stole from Adam. And he's telling Jesus, if you will do what I'm telling you to do, I'll give you this authority. And Jesus said, listen to this. He says, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this authority will I give unto you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, it will be thine. So he wanted him to worship him. Satan is looking for Jesus' worship. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus had the specific, he had the knowledge, he had the wisdom, he had the discernment, he had the specific word, the specific tool that was needed each time Satan came at him. Notice Jesus is on a journey of destiny, and Satan is trying to abort that destiny. That's why he attacked him. And he found the moment when he was most vulnerable to that attack. But Jesus was walking in authority. Jesus was walking in wisdom, in revelation, in understanding, in discernment. And even though the gate of hell came against him, he could not be stopped. Well, the gate of hell will not stop you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to you tonight. The gate of hell will not stop you. You will walk in your God-given authority. You will walk in your God-given dominion. You will take advantage of every benefit and every privilege that has been given unto you in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. He didn't stop there. He says, if you worship me, all this will be yours. And Jesus said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and whom him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. And then he quoted the scripture that Satan did. For it is written, because Jesus had been quoting scriptures. So Satan said, I'm going to pull one on you too. He said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. But he pulled the wrong one. He quoted the wrong scripture. That was not the word. That was not the appropriate word for this situation that Jesus was dealing with. Do you see this? Are you understanding this? Are you getting a revelation of this? Because many times, the reason a lot of believers can't walk in the authority that God has given them is we are not discerning first the work of the enemy and his strategy and his intelligence. You know, they are intelligent, demonic spirits. The word demons actually means intelligent beings. They're intelligent. They are very smart. The smartness of the world and the wisdom of God outsmarts them. Let's close tonight. This word that Satan quoted was not the scripture that was appropriate for this situation Jesus was dealing with. So how did Jesus respond? Jesus said unto him, well, he said, it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said. It is said. I love that. It is said. It's almost like, no, it is. This is more appropriate. The scripture says, the rhema word of God, in addition to what is written, what the Holy Spirit is giving me in this moment of time by revelation is this scripture. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the Bible says, when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Where Jesus said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Because it is one thing to have spiritual authority and dominion, but it is another thing to be able to use it. It is another thing to know how to use it. It is another thing to know when to use it. It is another thing to know exactly how to execute what weapon of our warfare is required in the moment. We see from the example of Jesus. And Satan isn't going to come against us any way different from the way he came against Jesus. All those three temptations, all those three attacks are actually the broad categories of the attacks through which Satan is going to attack every believer on this earth. But Jesus beat him. Jesus took authority, exercised dominion, and defeated him. And if you exercise your God-given authority, and if you walk in your own God-given dominion, and if you operate the keys of the kingdom of God, and you walk in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge and understanding and discernment, and you use the right tool for the right situation at the right time, you will overcome in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. You alone are worthy to receive it. Thank you, Father God, for your mighty grace upon our lives. Thank you, Father God, for the working of the Holy Spirit in this service. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We walk in authority and dominion. I give you praise, Father, for every man and every woman, every boy and every girl under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Father God, for lifting us up, for elevating us, enabling us to walk in the dominion and authority that you have made available to us. We engage with the keys of the kingdom of God. We thank you because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, saints. We're out of time tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Ooh, glory to God. What a blessed time of study. I'm excited about our next study. I look forward to seeing you exactly the same time next week. God bless you. Good night.